Welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLA, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It is heard Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group Long Island Community Affairs team right here at our studios on Long Island. I'm Chris, your host for today's episode. Let me introduce our guest, the founder of Eileen's Free Bodega, Amanda Sweeney. How are you, Amanda?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So Amanda, just for our listeners who might not know, what is Eileen's Free Bodega?
It is a community fridge, or it's two community fridges in Brentwood that provides free food, free accessibility to food to anybody, no questions asked, 24/7. People can take what they need and leave what they can. That's what we do.
That's amazing. How can people reach you?
You can reach us through Instagram at Eileen's Free Bodega _. You can reach us at our website, eileensfreebodega.com. org. Could reach out to us at Eileen's Free Bodega on Facebook and TikTok. All of them are Eileen's Free Bodega.
Thank you for that information. That's awesome. That's a lot of different platforms. That's good. You guys are super accessible. What are your operating hours?
24/7. Essentially, like, the fridges are there 24/7, and anyone has the possibility to just go to the fridge and take something or drop something off, because I know, like, there's like a lot of stigma of like using food pantries. That way, you know, it could be like incognito getting your food without having the fear of judgment.
For someone who might not know what to expect when approaching, when going to one of to your location in Brentwood, you said, what is it like when you go there? Like,
it's outside. Both of the fridges are outside. That way anybody in the community, in the public, can have access to it. And it says in Spanish and English, comida gratis, free food. And, you know, take what you need, leave what you can, in English and Spanish. And it's very inviting. We have, you know, the fridges painted to represent and pay homage to indigenous culture and people.
That's amazing. So, do you guys have a mission statement?
Our mission statement is an act of service is love. Food is a human right.
That's so nice. I like that. It's like to the point, but it resonates. That's really nice. How can people donate to your organization if they want to?
They can donate through Venmo, Cash App. You could write us checks. Some people like to write checks. I know we have PayPal. All of it is Eileen's Free Bodega. Also, what I do encourage people to do is, since it's a community fridge, right? I encourage people to go grocery shopping and purchase some stuff, like daily necessities that often we take for granted. You know, people can go buy like 10 cartons of eggs and 5 half gallons of milk or apples or oranges and just put it in the fridge. And that's how you could be a part of the movement as well.
So are there people who are maintaining the fridges?
Yeah. So it'd be myself, my partner, the bodega crew, the team, I don't know, however you want to say this. And then also we have some volunteers that just believe in, like, you know, mutual aid and helping one another without having, you know, strings attached. But essentially it's myself, my partner, my sister, and another board member, his name's Joshua Chan, and we all just like take care of the fridges. This semester, we were like granted the privilege, because it really is helpful, with the Human Service Department at Suffolk County Community College, and their students wanted to help out the fridges. So they, like, you know, went shopping, they cleaned the fridges, they helped us with our first annual fundraiser, which was so helpful.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing that when people hear about it, it's probably something they want to get involved in, because, I mean, it's free, super accessible food for people who need it. And it's so open and giving. You don't really, like you said, you guys will kind of want to allow it to be discreet for people who might not want it to be like a big public thing that they're going to get food. So that's definitely the kind of thing that I think a lot of people, once they hear about it, are going to want to get involved in, because that's food is a necessity. Like you said, it's a human right. It's something people need. So not being able to get it so easily the way others can, you know, you guys are providing that, and you're making it easy, and you're making people feel comfortable doing it. A lot of people don't feel comfortable asking for help. So I love that you guys centered it kind of around that idea. If someone did want to get involved and be a volunteer, is there a process they have to go through to do that? Is there like an application? How would they?
We do have an application process, just to make sure that like everyone is like, you know, understanding of what we're doing, right? Because like our our main core values is to protect the dignity of the people. And like, we don't want to be like yelling at people for taking too much food. Like, we don't know their circumstances. They could have like a lot of family members, or they, you know, they could maybe only have like one car, or this is like the first time that they've seen like free food anywhere. Or like, what does the face of poverty look like? Right. And like, we have like all of these notions that like poverty has a certain face, and like, that's not true. That's not true at all. And like doing this work, I have been able to experience this myself, and like, you know, challenge my own self and my own like preconceived like judgments. So we do have an interview process just to make sure that like, you know, the person is understanding that when we're doing this from a place of love and not a place of judgment. And it's not for like social media or, you know, like likes on Facebook. We're doing it just because we need to do better in society, right? And I'm a professor at Queens College, and I teach my students theory all the time. And I could say fluffy words about, you know, providing better education and food and healthcare and jobs, right? Like, that would make better society. But if I'm not actually taking this theory and applying it to real life, then what's the point of me teaching this to my students?
Exactly. It's one thing to talk to talk, but it's another thing to actually walk the walk. And I would think that it would make teaching it more meaningful when it's something you actually live and breathe in your outside life. So that's really incredible. When was Eileen's Free Bodega first founded? And how would you say since then your organization has evolved?
May 8th was our first day at the Consulate of El Salvador in Brentwood off of 111. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the area, but it's right off of 111 in Brentwood. It was May 8th, 2021. Yeah, we're relatively new. But prior to this, we were doing like some community work in the South Bronx, providing free food to the community fridges in the South Bronx. And then my friend suggested to me like, hey, why don't we open up a fridge here in Western Suffolk County, and we could help like our community directly. And I was like, you know, honestly, I like that idea. So that's when we started. So we've been doing the work prior to, you know, May 8th, 2021, but our first like day operating, I would say, as Eileen's Free Bodega would be, you know, May 8th, 2021.
Does it feel more fulfilling it's always fulfilling to do work like this, but does it feel more fulfilling to give back to community that you are directly a part of?
I think it's a loaded question. I think that's a very loaded question, right? I'll help anybody, right? Like, I've helped, like, I shouldn't say I, like the bodega and like our supporters have helped people, migrants in, that are coming from the South, that were in the city, right? So we've helped pretty much anyone and everywhere. We don't turn anyone away. But I guess your question was, is it more fulfilling? No, it is nice to be supportive to folks that are often marginalized and like not necessarily included in community. So like that part is nice that we get to, you know, uplift and be resourceful to people that are, you know, excluded from the Brentwood community.
Right. Absolutely. I meant more like location wise, like, cause I know you guys had said you started off in the South, in the Bronx. And then you decided to move out to Suffolk. How many people would you say that you guys serve?
We serve like since we started, or just like daily or weekly? Like
either. I guess you could say like, how many people do you think you guys serve daily? And then how many people do you think you've served approximately overall? I know that might be kind of hard to measure.
So we definitely have served like over like 1,000 people. And then weekly, I would say definitely at least like 100 people. We're in direct communication with the people that we serve. They've gotten to know us, and we're part of like a WhatsApp group where we're able to contact and communicate with them. And so there's about, let's say like 60 people in our WhatsApp group, but then they tell their friends, and then their friends, you know, contact us, and they want, you know, some sort of help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's reported 1 in 4 adults on Long Island that suffer from food insecurity. What are some of the reasons you think why that's the case?
The price of eggs are $10 in some locations, depending on where you are. No, I just think, you know, unfortunately, like, we live in a country where we have like the most resources, but we don't know how to necessarily like use those resources like adequately.
Absolutely. I mean, you see, there's tons of ways, right? There's not some kind of shortage of food here. Like you said, there's tons of resources here, but it's just distributing that food and distributing it fairly and making sure everybody has it is not something that I guess our system does adequately. I mean, we, like you said, prices of eggs in some places are $10, and you know, the more prices go up, the harder it is. People have to cut down, and it gets tough. I mean, everyone is feeling it right now. It's really tough. So I definitely hear you on that. So I know you said you have your Brentwood location. Can you just reiterate, was there another location on Long Island that you guys have, or were there just the two fridges in Brentwood?
There's two fridges in Brentwood, one at the Christ Episcopal Church off of 2nd Avenue, 155 2nd Avenue, or 3rd Avenue. I'm sorry, I apologize. And then the other one is 151 Alkier Street in Brentwood, and that's off of 111. So one's off of Brentwood Road and one is off of 111, right by like the... It used to be called LIPA. I forgot the name of it now. ESPG awesome. Or something like that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. It says on your website that Eileen's Free Bodega doesn't believe in charity, but rather mutual aid. Can you break down that statement and how it applies to your organization? Is that really more hitting on like you preserving dignity, and it's not charity, but it's more just kind of what you hit on earlier?
Yeah, it's more so like solidarity, right? Because anybody could be in this position of, you know, not having enough. So it's just more like showing like solidarity with the working class and the hyper marginalized. And, you know, because none of us get paid to do this. Like, we don't collect like paychecks. There's no government grants. Everything is like organized through like grassroots and like, you know, like the working class people. It's actually pretty impressive, like just the power of like social media and how we're able to organize and fundraise through social media, such as like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. So it's just essentially like being there for one another, right? And like, we do have the numbers, right? But that's not our goal. Our goal isn't to be like, oh yeah, we pushed out like 3,000 pounds of food this week. Like, our goal is to make sure that like kids have food to go to school and they're not going to school hungry or, you know, going to bed hungry. That's essentially
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I see that you guys had your first annual fundraiser last month. Can you tell us a little bit about how that went, the amount of money you raised, what that was like?
It was actually really awesome, way better than I expected. I was so nervous. It was at the Bates House in East Setauket, which is beautiful. If you've never been there, I suggest anyone to go check it out because it's on a park. And it's really nice to be around nature. And it went really nice. We had, I'm going to say like 90 people, and we raised about $6,500.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot. That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
That's definitely a success.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say so. I was definitely nervous, but like my team and my family and like the supporters of the bodega, like, they were so, so helpful and so supportive. And like, they just were happy to be there and to support the first annual fundraiser.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that for you guys. Are there any plans in the work to have a second fundraiser next year?
It's like a strong possibility. We just have to like, you know, take a little break. I'm kind of recovering from COVID right now. And, you know, we're just trying to like rest and enjoy the holidays. But yeah, there's a strong possibility of a second annual fundraiser.
That's so exciting. I look forward to hearing about that. Did you guys partake in the Central American Independence Day Parade?
We did.
How did that go? Tell me a little bit about that.
It was awesome. It's nice to be around, you know, in the Brentwood community with the people. Like, I really enjoy being with the people. When we started like the bodega, like, it wasn't like, oh, we're going to help a certain demographic, right? Like, it kind of just like organically like and naturally happened that we would align with like the Salvadorian community. And in the process of doing our work, we have been blessed in so many ways in terms of like learning about like Salvadorian cuisine and culture and customs and just like the kindness of like the Salvadorian people. So it was really awesome to be there and to represent the Salvadorian flag. Like I'm half Colombian and my partner's Dominican and my goddaughter, she's Afro-Latina. And so we also incorporated like the Black Liberation flag just because often in Hispanic communities, there can be like a type of anti-blackness or colorism, right? And so I was like, you know, we're going to bring the Black Liberation flag with us because there's Black Latinos, but often like they are excluded or not thought about or, you know, just not ever brought into the topic of conversation. So yeah, I thought it went nice.
That's amazing. And that's a super powerful thing to do, to be able to represent everyone and say like, hey, like we support everyone, we stand for everyone, you know, it's not about any of that. And you make a strong statement with that. So that's really incredible to hear.
Thank you so much. I was actually really nervous to bring the Black Liberation flag because I was like, people are going to think I'm like a radical crazy person. Like I'm sure people already think I'm weird for giving out free food for like no apparent reason. There's like this notion that like people are poor because it's their own fault, right? And so bringing out the Black Liberation flag, I was a little nervous, but I, you know, I was just like, you know, I'm gonna do it, and if people don't like it, that's on them. That's not me.
That's a really interesting point that you just brought up, the notion that people are poor because it's their own fault. It's such a like completely, that is an idea that a lot of people believe, and it's so insensitive. And I think it really hits you how not true that is, when you go out and you interact with people who have fallen into poverty, and you can really see how it can happen to anyone, and it's not a specific type of person. It's not based on poor decisions always. It's not, you know, it's not anything like that, right? It's not, most of the time, it's really not people's fault that they've fallen into circumstances that they've fallen into. And one of the times where like that realization really hit for me is when I traveled to Hawaii with some friends, and they have a really large homeless population there. And we were doing community service work there, and we were speaking to some of the people, and someone pointed out to us, they were saying most people here at one point in their lives had the financial stability to afford a plane ticket to get here from the mainland. And now all of us are homeless. So just to put into perspective how you can have that stability and be doing everything right in your life, and things can happen to you that make you fall into these circumstances. So I think that that's a really, really important point that you just brought up, how people do often sort of blame people for their own circumstances when it's really not that simple, and it's much more complicated than that. So I love that you just hit on that.
And thank you for your community service. I think that's dope that you've done that and you've been exposed to that.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. What are some of the other programs that you run for children and families on Long Island?
I don't run anything, to be quite honest, besides like the bodega. You know, the thing is like the families that we serve, they became very comfortable with us. And, you know, when they need something like a little bit outside of food, such as like food, such as clothes, I apologize, such as clothes, or like, maybe like a connection to like another like resource, like Make the Road to New York, or just something that's like a little bit outside of my realm, or like anybody in our team's realm, like we can connect them to like another organization. Right now, like Brentwood Market, the owner of Brentwood Market, he's so awesome. His name's Poochie. But he helped us give out 100 like proteins for Thanksgiving. And he was on top of my partner and I to be like, hey, so what are we doing for Christmas? What are we doing for Christmas? What are we doing for Christmas? And then I was like, okay, we're going to do something for Christmas. So we have about 75 children that requested certain toys. And, you know, we're going to like make that happen for them. We're going to organize the toys, and we're going to like drop it off to the families and such. And you know, we just try to be like supportive to the communities, because like often some of the people that we serve, they have been through so much trauma, and they're younger than me, right? And it's like I'm so mind boggled that like they're only, let's say, like 25 years old or 24 years old, and they've already had such hardships, or like a 7-year-old like going through so much trauma, you know, such as crossing the border or something like that, you know. And I know, like, you know, some people have, you know, different opinions on people like crossing the border, like, oh, do it the right way. But I don't think people realize that, like, it, like, quote unquote, right way, if you were to like make a line of doing it the right way, the line would be like 25 plus years long, right? Yeah. And like people are migrating because of like climate issues, because of job instability, because of, you know, violence and everything like that. And what I think people forget is that a lot of the folks that are migrating here, they're misidentified as being Latino and they're actually indigenous. So it's like, whoa, like we are mm-hmm. occupying land here in the United States and we're denying actual indigenous people like right to come here and just like have a decent life. Like people aren't leaving their country just because no one wants to leave their country. They're coming here because they have no choice. And
absolutely. I think people, I don't know when along the line, but people started forgetting to lead with compassion. I think when you have people who are coming in who, as you said, are indigenous people who have been here, right? But not just that, even if they weren't, who are coming in, who need help, who want better lives, who need better lives, right? They're coming here because they're either escaping some type of trauma, like you said, from where they were, or they just want better lives for themselves. It always confuses me why we wouldn't lead with compassion and welcome them with open arms and be happy that we get to live in a place where people want to come, you know, yeah. instead of somewhere where people are fleeing from. So I think people often forget that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then it's just like, you know, many layers and like the intersectionality of like different hardships. And again, like this can be brought back to like poverty. And like, I think it's like a little bit over like 80% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. So you add that into like the equation and it's like, okay, wow, like I could miss two paychecks and like that could be me like needing to go to a food pantry. Often some of the people have told us like, you know, like some of the food at other locations are not like the best quality or they're not the most nicest people. We're just trying to lead with love. That's essentially like what we're trying to do, regardless of like political beliefs.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Aside from the holiday stuff that you spoke about that you were planning on doing, do you guys have any projects coming up that you wanted to promote?
We do have something. I can't actually speak of it right now.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Because it's like, I'm a part of the project, but like, it's not, I'm not the leader of the project. Gotcha. But I can let you guys know when that project begins.
Absolutely. We'll be on the lookout for that. And just one more time for anyone who might have joined a little bit late that maybe didn't catch the information in the beginning, can you just for anyone who might want it, just repeat your website, your phone number, and where people can find you on social media?
So Eileen's Free Bodega. You could find us on social media, all platforms of social media besides Twitter. We don't have Twitter. So it's TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, Eileen's Free Bodega. And then our actual like official website is eileensfreebodega.org. And our phone number is 631-647-0120.
Thank you so much for that. Well, Amanda, it's been so incredible hearing about this and hearing about all the work you do. Thank you so much for being so informative and so open about your experiences and what you guys do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been like actually like one of my like favorite interviews ever.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's so good to hear. This has been Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It airs Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group Long Island Community Affairs team right here at our studios on Long Island.